Hi, welcome back to the Worthy Sea Podcast. It's Sunday, April 14th, 2024. I'm Chip Stewart, and this episode will continue in the Sermon on the Mount in the Beatitudes. And this one will be on Blessed are the Peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And this will be part one of two. I've decided to break this one up into two different episodes. This first one, what I would like to do is talk about examples, a couple examples from the Old Testament of peacemakers, and that will be Abraham and Abigail. And first, I like to start out with the Beatitudes, as I always do as we go through these. So from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, it says, "Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And I'd just like to remind you, if you've been going through the series, that the definition of blessed in this sense, the one that I'm using, is enjoying the favor of God. It's from Webster's 1828 dictionary, but I think it's the best way to express this. We're enjoying the favor of God when we are in these conditions, when we are like this. And I believe that the Beatitudes in particular describe what the children of the kingdom should be like. So we should aspire to be these things that are considered blessed by our Father in heaven as you read through the Beatitudes. So now, within them, we are up to, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." And I believe that there are three main areas where we are to make peace, according to the Scriptures. The first area, I believe, is peace with God. And that's both between ourselves and our Father in heaven, to make peace between us and to lead our fellow man to have peace with God. So it's peace with God. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, it talks about being reconciled with God. We have peace with God through Jesus Christ in Romans chapter 5. And then and our Father in heaven has chosen us to take this message of peace to our fellow man as his ambassadors. So we, as his sons and daughters, are his peacemakers. And that's also found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The second area where we are to make peace as Christians, as followers of Christ, is with our fellow man. And there's many scriptures, and I'll probably talk a little bit more about that in the next part. But you will see that, I think, very clearly in this first part where we look at Abraham and Abigail. So that's the second area, peace with our fellow man. And then the third area is peace in the body of Christ. God desires unity and not division in the body of Christ. He desires peace within the body of Christ. And that one will be more described in part two. Before we get into the examples of Abraham and Abigail, let's take a look at the Psalms and the Proverbs to see how many of them talk about peace and us to be peacemakers, men and women of peace, and things of that nature. Start with Psalm 37, and we'll look at verses 37 and 38, where this describes a man of peace in contrast to the wicked. So it says here, "Mark the blameless and behold the upright, for there is a future for the man of peace. But transgressors shall be altogether destroyed. The future of the wicked shall be cut off." So when you are called a son of God, you have a future. If you go back to the beatitude itself, it says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Sons of God have a future. They have a future life with God, an eternity with God. But the future of the wicked shall be cut off. They will be cast into the eternal lake of fire. Therefore, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Then we turn to Proverbs. Proverbs 12 in verse 20, "Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but those who plan peace have joy." Proverbs 17 verse 14, "The beginning of strife is like letting out water, so quit before the quarrel breaks out." Here it admonishes us to avoid quarreling, avoid strife, because we don't want to let out the water, where once you let the water out, it can't be stopped, I think is the point it's getting after. So we need to quit. We need to make peace before the quarrel breaks out, to maintain peace. Proverbs 18, verse 19, "A brother offended is more unyielding than a strong city, and quarreling is like the bars of a castle." So to maintain peace, we try not to offend a brother. Then they become unyielding. And then you also have the quarreling that happens, the bars of a castle. No one can be let in. You can't make that peace because the bars of a castle are up. Proverbs 19, verse 11. "Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense." So when you are fast to anger, then you're not maintaining peace. And it is to someone's glory to overlook an offense rather than holding it over somebody and causing that strife, to maintain the peace in the situation and overlook whatever that offense may have been. Now in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 3, "It is an honor for a man to keep aloof from strife, but every fool will be quarreling." So a fool will not maintain peace. They will seek to quarrel. And on the contrary, it says here, the opposite of that, a man of honor. You know, an honor for a man is to keep aloof from strife, to try to maintain that peace and stay apart, set aside, detached, whatever you want to say, away from that strife, whether it's making it or becoming participating in it. Then you have Proverbs 26, verses 20 through 22, which talks about gossip and quarreling. "For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisper, quarreling ceases." So that's what I'm referring to as the gossip. You're not whispering and telling secrets about somebody or talking about them behind their back. You know, where there is none of that, then the quarreling can cease. And then verse 21, "As charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife." So the very opposite of a peacemaker is a quarrelsome man, who is charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, which is kindling strife. That's what they're doing, kindling strife. And our Father in heaven doesn't want us as his children to be kindling strife. And then Psalm 34, verses 12 through 16, which is quoted in 1 Peter chapter 3, the Lord directs us to seek peace and pursue it. "Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." That's what we as Christians should be doing, is to seek peace and pursue it. And it's right there alongside of turn away from evil and do good. Keeping your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. So it's very important to our Lord for us to be peacemakers. So let's look at a couple examples within the Old Testament. The first one will be Abraham. He's considered the father of the faithful. That's what he's called in the scriptures. But he and Lot split. And this is in Genesis chapter 13, verses 2 through 12. And it's at that moment that they split after coming into Canaan. And as we read through this, you'll see that it comes to the point where there's quarreling amongst their subordinates. And Abraham seeks peace between their two groups. And it's really noteworthy that Abraham allows Lot to choose the land that he wants first, deferring to him, even though Abraham, I would say, probably had every right as senior, the elder in the situation to pick first. He allows Lot to pick first. And as I read through this, I couldn't help but think of Abraham as being a peacemaker, wanting to have peace between him and his group and Lot and his group as they entered into Canaan. So the scripture says, "Now Abram was very rich in livestock and silver and in gold, and he journeyed on from the Negev as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been made at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, to the place where he had made an altar at the first. And there Abram called upon the name of the Lord. And Lot, who went with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, so that the land could not support both of them dwelling together. For their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. At that time, the Canaanites and the Perizzites were dwelling in the land. Then Abram said to Lot, 'Let there be no strife between you and me, and between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, for we are kinsmen. Is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself from me. If you take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if you take the right hand, then I will go to the left.' And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw that the Jordan Valley was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt in the direction of Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself all the Jordan Valley, and Lot journeyed east. Thus they separated from each other. Abram settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled among the cities of the valley and moved his tent as far as Sodom." We have to ask ourselves if we would do the same thing if we were in Abraham's position with Lot. Would we allow the other to choose first so that there would be no strife, to avoid strife at all costs and to make peace? Because you let the other person pick, then they shouldn't be unhappy with what they pick. Because if you pick for them, then they could come back and say, "Oh, this is not a good land. You gave me something that is not good." Well, you took the best. You took the best land for yourself. Here, Lot would have no excuse, seeing that Abram allowed him to choose first. Do we, as Christians, take that attitude toward other people and allow them to pick first if we were in a similar situation? Or do we seek to impose our desires into the situation and make sure we take the best for ourselves? Or is peace more important to us than getting the best for ourselves? And I think that's what the Lord is showing us here. As Abram, as a man of peace, he sought peace more than he sought to take the best land for himself. So he allowed Lot to choose and allowed Lot to take the best land in his own eyes. So I think Abraham is a wonderful example of a man of peace, a peacemaker from the Old Testament. Now let's take a look at Abigail, who is an example of a woman of peace in 1 Samuel 25. As we read through this, it's a rather long passage, and that's why I wanted to split this up between two parts. But I want you to notice how she was not only a peacemaker between David and Nabal and the rest of Nabal's household, but she stayed David's hand from killing Nabal and incurring blood guiltiness before God. So not only did she make that peace between Nabal and David, but also between David and God. And then we'll end this passage. I'll conclude this passage with a passage from Romans chapter 12, which I think sheds a little bit more light. It quotes Proverbs, the Proverbs of Solomon, and you'll see how that proverb reflects what happened here. So let's read through 1 Samuel chapter 25 and see how Abigail is a woman of peace who we should emulate, use an example for us. "Then David rose and went down to the wilderness of Paran, and there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel. The man was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. He was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. The woman was discerning and beautiful, but the man was harsh and badly behaved. He was a Calebite. David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep. So David sent 10 young men, and David said to the young men, "Go up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. And thus you shall greet him, 'Peace be to you, and peace be to your house, and peace be to all that you have. I hear that you have shearers. Now your shepherds have been with us, and we did them no harm, and they missed nothing all the time they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we come on a feast day. Please give whatever you have at hand to your servants and to your son David.' When David's young men came, they said all this to Nabal in the name of David, and then they waited. And Nabal answered David's servants, 'Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants these days who are breaking away from their masters. Shall I take my bread and my water and my meat that I have killed for my shearers and give it to men who come from I do not know where?' So David's young men turned away and came back and told him all this. And David said to his men, 'Every man strap on his sword.' And every man of them strapped on his sword. David also strapped on his sword, and about 400 men went up after David, with 200 remaining with the baggage. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, 'Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to greet our master, and he railed at them. Yet the men were very good to us, and we suffered no harm, and we did not miss anything when we were in the fields as long as we went with them. They were a wall to us, both night and by day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now, therefore, know this and consider what you should do, for harm is determined against our master and against all his house, and he is such a worthless man that one cannot speak to him.' Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 skins of wine and 5 sheep already prepared and 5 seahs of parched grain and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on donkeys. And she said to her young men, 'Go on before me. Behold, I come after you.' But she did not tell her husband Nabal. And as she rode on the donkey and came down under the cover of the mountain, behold, David and his men came down toward her, and she met them. Now David had said, 'Surely in vain have I guarded all that this fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that belonged to him. And he has returned me evil for good. God do so to the enemies of David, and more also, if by morning I leave so much as one male of all who belong to him.' When Abigail saw David, she hurried and got down from the donkeys and fell before David on her face and bowed to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, 'On me alone, my lord, be the guilt. Please let your servant speak in your ears and hear the words of your servant. Let not my lord regard this worthless fellow Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, your servant, did not see the young men of my lord whom you sent. Now then, my lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, because the Lord has restrained you from blood guilt and from saving with your own hand, now then, let your enemies and those who seek to do evil to my lord be as Nabal. And now let this present that your servant has brought to my lord be given to the young men who follow my lord. Please forgive the trespass of your servant, for the Lord will certainly make my lord a sure house, because my lord is fighting the battles of the Lord, and evil shall not be found in you as long as you live. If men rise up to pursue you and to seek your life, the life of my lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living in the care of the Lord your God. And the lives of your enemies he shall sling out as from the hollow of a sling. And when the Lord has done to my lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you, and has appointed you prince over Israel, my lord shall have no cause of grief or pangs of conscience for having shed blood without cause, or for my lord working salvation himself. And when the Lord has dealt well with my lord, then remember your servant." And David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. Blessed be your discretion, and blessed be you, who have kept me this day from blood guilt and from working salvation with my own hand. For as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, who has restrained me from hurting you, unless you have hurried and come to meet me, truly by morning there had not been left to Nabal so much as one male." Then David received from her hand what she had brought him, and he said to her, "Go up in peace to your house. See, I have obeyed your voice, and I have granted your petition." And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he was holding a feast in his house like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. So she told him nothing at all until the morning light. In the morning, when the wine had gone out of Nabal, his wife told him these things, and his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And about 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed be the Lord who has avenged the insult I received at the hand of Nabal, and has kept back his servant from wrongdoing. The Lord has returned the evil Nabal on his own head." Then David sent and spoke to Abigail to take her as his wife. When the servants of David came to Abigail at Carmel, they said to her, "David has sent us to you to take you to him as his wife." And she rose and bowed with her face to the ground and said, "Behold, your handmaid is a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my lord." And Abigail hurried and rose and mounted a donkey, and her 5 young women attended her. She followed the messengers of David and became his wife. So in the course of this, we see a situation where David and his men have taken care of Nabal's shearers and his shepherds and anyone that he had out in the wilderness while David's men were with him. David's men protected them. And yet, when David went to request something from him, he was rejected. That request was rejected by Nabal. And David was insulted. And he took, and in his heart, he believed that he needed to go avenge himself and take Nabal's wife and kill the men of his household. But when Abigail heard of this, she prepared food and wine and then came to David and fell before him and pleaded with him, talking about what he was planning was not right in the eyes of the Lord. He would incur blood guiltiness for going and slaying Nabal. And in that pleading, she changed the heart of David, causing him to be at peace with Nabal and his household, but also at peace with the Lord by staying his hand from killing Nabal and his men. And as we see later, God himself takes Nabal's wife. God tells us that he will be the one to avenge, not us. And he does that here in this example. This is a great example of not only peacemaking, but how we are not to avenge ourselves. That is in the Lord's hands. I would like to direct your attention now to Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21, because in this passage, it describes how we live at peace with others. And tells us not to seek vengeance like David was going to do. And it tells us to feed our enemy if they are hungry like Abigail did. David had that evil intent to avenge himself, but was convicted by Abigail's words and actions and relented from the evil he was about to do, which I think in this passage, when it talks about pouring burning coals on their head, and you'll see here in a minute, I think that's what happened here. It's a convicting message. The burning coals convict someone of what they are doing. And then in this case of Abigail, she overcame evil with good and made peace. So let's read this passage from Romans chapter 12, starting verse 9. "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good." It sounds a little bit like the Proverbs we were reading. And from the Psalms as well. "Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. To me, it's amazing how Solomon wrote Proverbs 25 later on. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. It's almost as if he's talking about the situation between David, Nabal, and Abigail, where David was seeking vengeance, but Abigail came to the enemy of Nabal and her household and fed him, took him food, took him wine, and gave them something to drink and pleaded with him, talking about what was favorable to the Lord and what was not favorable to the Lord. And by so doing, she heaped burning coals on his head, gave him that sense of conviction so that he relented from what he was doing, being confronted with this good, seeing the evil he was about to perpetrate, and realizing that he had to not do that. He had to change his mind. And so he relented from the evil he was about to do and spared himself the blood guiltiness of killing Nabal before the eyes of God and giving God the vengeance, allowing the Lord to repay and not taking it into his own hands. And in Romans, in this passage from Romans, there's a lot of talk here about, there are a lot of statements here that lead to peace and being a peacemaker. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Love one another with brotherly affection. So loving the body, those in the body of Christ. Outdo one another in showing honor. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. And we'll talk about that when we talk about blessed are the persecuted. Bless and do not curse them. And this is what Abigail went. She went to bless David and not to curse him. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Live at peace. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. That may be what David was doing here. He thought he was being wise in his own sight to seek vengeance. But Abigail quickly relieved him of that and showed him that he was not being wise in the action that he was going to take against Nabal. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. And then I'm skipping down to the end, overcome evil with good. Repay no one evil for evil. If you repay somebody evil for evil, does that promote peace? No. It just continues the feud. It continues the quarrel. It does not make peace. We are told to overcome evil with good to make peace. When at all possible, let me just read the passage here in verse 18 from Romans 12. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Live peaceably with all. And I believe that's what Abram was doing with Lot between the two parties, and also Abigail with David and Nabal. I think those are two great examples for us as Christians of what our Father expects us to do as peacemakers. And I encourage you to go back to Romans 12, verses 9 through 21, and read through that to talk about some elements, how we conduct ourselves to be peacemakers, to live peaceably with all. So with that, I'm going to end this episode on Blessed are the Peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And I will do part two next time. So I will see you then.